This is your host, Tom Kelly, welcoming you one more time to the Proctor Podcast, and episode 8 of Where's My Fortune Cookie, co-authored by Phil Proctor and Brad Schreiber. On the road and on his way to a professional career as an actor, Phil shares stories about his first national television role as a soap opera juvenile delinquent, and backstage stories about his onstage performances with stars like Pat O'Brien and Gloria DeHaven. While offstage, Phil performs with a variety of uncredited cuties. Now, episode 8 of Where's My Fortune Cookie?
On the road and on my way. While I was still at Yale, we had regular drama festivals. Thursday would be orientation, and then Friday through Sunday, we'd watch scenes and one-acts from 9 in the morning to 9 at night. Not only did we have a chance to hook up with some great-looking girls from all over the country, but we also got exposed to some great companies. I was very impressed by Denison Summer Theater's work, so I met the artistic director, Richard Brasmer, set up an audition, and got in. It was my introduction to a true repertory season. You rehearsed one play while performing another. John Davidson, who went on to a fine career of singing and acting, was there. The versatile, log-faced character actor Jod Shuck was also a student there in Granville, Ohio. I got more musicals under my belt, including the Robert Morse role in Take Me Along and Rafe Rackstraw in Gilbert and Sullivan's HMS Pinafore. Don Wilde was my favorite guest director, and it just so happened that an absolutely stunning redhead who was in Pinafore with me was a member of an on-campus sorority house. That young lady and I were so attracted to each other that our lust could not be dampened by the fact that in Don's house, a murder had occurred in the basement. In fact, they still had some of the newspapers stuck on the floor down there used to absorb the blood after some guy went crazy and stabbed his wife. But we were a-twitter with passion. It was life before us and death underneath us. My new squeeze had a sorority house key, and she and I regularly snuck in there late at night to have some naughty fun, illuminated only by moonlight. But nothing lasts forever. I met her a year later in New York. She had abandoned the stage and married a pig farmer in Ohio. Love is fleeting, especially in your 20s in the theater. When my time at Yale came to an end, I had a simple but poignant and very curious experience. Even though I was living and working in New York, my whole life had previously been about school. And after Yale, I actually felt disoriented, like I'd lost my connection to the world. So one day, I took a train back up to New Haven to visit the campus again, to see the leaves turning colors on the trees, to tell myself, yes, it's fall, but you are no longer in school. It's fall, and you are now a working professional actor. The landmarks for the passage of time in your life have changed forever. That summer at Denison really groomed me even further for the life of an actor. It was very hard work, both rehearsing and performing simultaneously. In one show, I'd be singing a lead role, and in the next, playing a Chinese waiter, complete with Asiatic eye makeup and a self-crafted Fu Manchu mustache. My season at Denison was a world away from my college experience. At Yale, the concept was to strip the actor down to nothing and then build the actor up again with time-tested techniques. At Denison, the approach was to find the innate personality of each performer and then emphasize it and let the actor shine. Just as my father had debated the priests at Notre Dame about the existence of God, I rebelled against the stripping away and layering technique that was the modus operandi at Yale. Denison let me use the skills I already had, develop them, and have them shaped by directors, which made me much more satisfied as a performer.